What does the Bible have to say to us about the last things? How do we understand the book of Revelation? Do the scriptures have anything to say to us about the times in which we live? Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, California, and I invite you to a free conference on understanding the end times, a biblical perspective on the last things. Saturday, November 7th, 2015 at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Speakers include professors and authors Dr. Dennis Johnson and Dr. Kim Riddlebarger. That's Saturday, November 7th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, visit our website, christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Busy is your life? Are you full of worry and anxiety? Are you running here and there and you never seem to have enough time for anything? Are you stressed out? You know, I talk to more people who come up to me and say, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so busy. I am just so busy. I can't get it all done." Well, I've got a message for you today. And the answer, the Lord has addressed this issue in Scripture. The answer may be a little different than you have historically heard or received. But it's such a beautiful answer from the Lord. He's answered this problem. He's given you something so that you would have strength, ability, wisdom, power to fulfill the duties that he's given to you. And that is his day of worship and rest. We're going to look at that today from Exodus chapter 16. Such an important subject today. I hope this is a blessing to you as we consider what Israel was called to honor in the Sabbath and why it was so important. If you would like to call us, our number is 888-504-8805. We'd love to hear from you. So do please call us. You can support us right there on that call, 888-504-8805, or you can go to our website at agradio.org. There's a way to support us right through PayPal. Do keep in mind, if you're blessed by these programs, 100% of your support helps us to make these blessings, bring these programs to be a blessing for somebody else. We are in major parts of the U.S. and Canada, so we want these broadcasts to reach as many people as we are able. Again, agradio.org. Find us on Facebook. So thankful to our listeners for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. We read all your notes and thankful for your encouragement. Here is now this program from Exodus chapter 16, which I have titled A Sabbath in the Wilderness, Exodus 16, and may Abounding Grace Radio today richly bless you.
Well, we have really learned and been studying how difficult wilderness life really is, haven't we? This has really been a moving study for me to understand, as we've already somewhat considered today, the life of sanctification likened here to this wilderness way, this wilderness journey on the way to the promised land. You'll notice the end of that said that the Lord sustained them on this bread all the way until they entered the land, the goal. The most troubling thing that we have witnessed in our study so far of them out in the wilderness is their desire to return to Egypt, their desire to go back. You remember last week, "Oh, that we had died," in verse 3, "by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate to the full. You've brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." I mean, what a just astonishing charge, which shows the problem of a grumbling human heart that is just something that constantly comes out of us. The book of Numbers helps us and tells us that what had happened to Israel was that they had become discouraged along the way. And the real thing that we're learning from Israel is that this wilderness life is hard, it's full of pain, it's full of sorrows, it's full of tests, it's full of discouragements. Little did they expect this. What was in their minds? What did they think it would be? And so they were constantly looking back to Egypt and looking at this in a larger picture in theological terms, they were looking back to their bondage. They wanted to go back to their bondage. They wanted to go back to being Romans 6, slaves to sin. Bondage to another master. And that is why it was just so terribly evil. So what we're seeing here is that this life of sanctification is learning to believe and to trust the Lord regardless of circumstance, in the tyranny of circumstances. In other words, you could say it this way. We say we're justified by faith. We're also learning that sanctification is by faith the whole way through. Trusting the Lord's promises. Trusting what the Lord has said. Learning, as Paul said, in whatever state I am, to be content, he said. I will be content. I've learned how to be abound and to abase. We should rest on his word. We should love his commandments. All of his truth should drive our actions. All of his gracious promises and the way that he's treated us. What more could he do for us than what he has done? And yet he still continues to provide. That's what we've been seeing. Deuteronomy gives us a little bit of purpose into this in Deuteronomy chapter 8 when it says, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, so that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell in these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." Purpose. You must learn to depend. You must learn to trust. You must learn to stop going in your own strength. You must learn to stop using your own human wisdom, ingenuity. You must learn to be satisfied with my leading and the bread that I supply for you. And that gets to the heart of the test this morning. That gets to the heart of the test that's before us. As their complaint grew, so did this test. It grew. The Lord was testing them, and the scene we left off in last, he has rained down quail from heaven like fine dust all over their doorsteps. It has landed before them. He has rained down manna from heaven. He is providing for them. He's caring for them. But now he interjects a new kind of test. It was the test of the Sabbath, specifically mentioned there. What we see is that the Sabbath was intended to be a blessing and a refreshment for them in their wilderness way. It was to be a time of real joy and refreshment in resting in his provisions. We look at this today, and I suppose that's a good way to begin. To look at the intention or the blessing of the Sabbath, to look at the test that God used with the Sabbath, and then to look at what their breaking of the Sabbath really exposed. So the blessing of the Sabbath, the test of the Sabbath, and the breaking of the Sabbath. If you go back to verse 4, what we read a moment ago, "Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." And then verse 5, "On the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt." You'll notice down in verse 22, "On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the Israel came and told Moses, he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till morning.' So they did it." Now, here they are at the beginning sort of their wilderness way. But what we find is rather shocking. God, somehow along the way, has made it really clear to Moses that Israel was to Sabbath. They were to rest. Now remember, everything is different for them. They're no longer in bondage. They've been used to, and you sort of have to put yourself in their shoes for a moment. They've been used to a whole way of life. They've been used to a rigorous work routine, haven't they? They've been used to a rigorous work schedule. Bricks without straw was the end of the whole thing. Whips and beatings. There was no day of rest in Egypt. There was no Sabbath in Egypt. Do you think the Israelites ever got to break from the cruelty and rigor of their work? You think Pharaoh said, oh, it's the Lord's day of rest. Let me give it to them. No. It's cruel bondage. Bondage in Egypt was fierce. Work was hard. Work was stressful. It came with beatings if you didn't meet your quotas. You think you're stressed. There was no practice. So what's fascinating here is that the Lord breaks their bondage. He shatters the bondage from sin, we know, is the major teaching. He delivers them. He passes them through. He baptizes them in the sea. He resurrects them to a brand new life, passing them through. This is the whole way the New Testament applies this great story. They sing the song of salvation, which is ultimately the song of the Lamb, Revelation 16, you remember. But ever since then, they've been fighting the old nature, haven't they? They've been craving for pots of meat. I don't think it was that good. You know the nostalgia of looking back to the past. It all represents their cravings for sin. They're craving for the former way of life. And the Lord's been teaching them to trust him in the wilderness, to depend on him, to live by his word. It's in this connection that the Lord now says, you need to rest. You need to stop on the seventh day. Every seventh day, I want you to stop from all of your traveling, your working, your provision, everything that you're doing. I want you to stop, and I want you to take a delight in me. I want you to pattern me. But what do you mean? Well, the Lord lavishes down upon them another gracious gift in the wilderness, the Sabbath. Another gracious gift. The Sabbath was this anticipation, and you'll notice this rooted in this text, it was the anticipation. Hebrews is really working from this pattern here. It is the anticipation that they would no longer needed to be provided food in the wilderness because they will have arrived. You notice that's the end of this whole section. They got there, they no longer needed manna, but he gave it all the way until they entered the land. Well, what was the land typifying? It anticipated the eternal rest. This is how, again, the whole New Testament has applied these things and looked at these things. They had entered the land. This is verse 35. And the children of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of Canaan. As soon as they passed over, manna was done. In fact, Joshua says, then the manna ceased on that day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. So all of this was in anticipation of arrival. All of this was provision to get there. So they were sustained on the manna until the day they would enter the land and have no more need but eat freely off the land with no more enemies. Well, that's designed to teach you a lot about wilderness life, isn't it? It's not so hard to figure out. Canaan is a type of the new heavens and the new earth. The land was to be cleansed of all enemies. They were to inhabit it. It was the land of milk and honey. It was promised to Abraham. And you know that you're looking for something. You're being sustained in the wilderness until you get to the day when you enter glory and you are going to partake right of the tree of life. This is the story. Point is, they hadn't gotten there yet. You haven't gotten there yet. And the Lord wanted them to rest to anticipate this, to go in his strength, when they would no longer have to gather and no longer have to work. Now, maybe work has been so good in the U.S. and we have so much free time, we don't really know what work can be anymore. 6 days, he would rain down bread for them, and every day they were to go and work and gather the bread, the manna. And they were to only take according to their need. And on the sixth day, the Lord would rain down twice as much for them. So day by day, they were taught to trust, give us this day our daily bread. That's the prayer the Lord has taught us to pray in the wilderness, the bread from heaven. And then on that day, they would rest, anticipating the day when they would no longer ever have to go out and gather again. They would enter their rest. Now, the Sabbath would be the key defining mark of Israel. What's so striking is that the command did not just originate at Mount Sinai. Now, that's really important this morning, because I often hear with the Ten Commandments that the Sabbath was just for Israel. And what we're finding here is that it was before the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Sabbath before Sinai. And the reason for this is because God had rooted this in creation, normative for everyone. At creation, God himself rested. Remember what Genesis 2:1 said, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done." Was God tired? No. He neither faints nor becomes weary. But God taught us all something. He delighted in his work. He enjoyed the work of his hands. The seventh day was a day that then God, after saying, "It's good, it's good, it's good," he sanctified it and he said, "This is the rest with which people are to anticipate and enjoy." One of the most amazing things about creation is that God created us in his image so that we might pattern him. Now, the end of creation is the glory of God. The resting signifies the fact that his work is completed and he is glorified through it. Sin came. Jesus said, "My Father and I are working until now to complete the project again." The point is, Sabbath was intended to be a major blessing in the wilderness. Listen to the intention in the law that I read this morning in Deuteronomy 5. "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. I delivered you. I pulled you out of there. I need you to stop and never forget this. So I'm giving you this rest. I want you to rest so that you would remember you've been delivered from your sin, that you've been delivered from your bondage, that you've been set free from all of your misery, the cruelty of Pharaoh, the tyranny of the devil. It's broken. But you're seeing the problem with the human heart after, right? Sanctification's a mess. So put this together. I know your wilderness life's hard. I know you're all beat up. I know that you're going through major discouragements. I know right now many of you are greatly discouraged about many things. The Lord is, this is the Lord's word to you. I know that. I understand that. So I'm going to provide for you. I know you're going out 6 days and you're working. Think of how this is still our structure. I know you're out there 6 days. In your daily work, in your daily gathering, I'm going to provide. You ask me. You come to me every day. I'll provide for you. Give me this day my daily bread. I'll supply. If a man asks his father for bread, is he going to give him a stone? I'll sustain you, but I want you every seventh day to stop. Now, later on, I'm going to go and explain for you why we do this on Sunday as opposed to Saturday. Some of you are thinking about that, and we'll look at that. I'm not going to do that right in this sermon. But the principle of a work-rest principle is all throughout Scripture. I want you to put aside your wilderness struggles. I know they're real. I want you to step away from it, and I'm going to give you a time to completely reflect upon me and my work for you. I'm going to give you a time to glorify me because I know your mind's race. You can't stay focused on much of anything. You're running around everywhere. I'm going to give you to come and sit, calm you down without crows. I'm going to give this to you. And I want to send you double food on this day. I'm going to give you double food. For what purpose? I want you to know that I love you. I want you to step away from it all. I want you to be fed with the true bread from heaven. We looked at that last time. I'll provide. I want you always to rest and remember, I delivered you from all of your sins. I brought you out of Egypt. I've loved you. I've delivered you. I'm plundering and I'm going to complete the work. Those whom he justified, he glorified. I want the seventh day always to teach you that an eternal rest is coming when you enter the land, the new heavens and the new earth, that you'll never have to work anymore under the cursed Adam. Now, the Jews' typical Sabbath was observed this way. The Talmud describes the traditional Jewish practice. They viewed the Sabbath, this is what they would call the Sabbath, every time it would arise, they would call it a beautiful bride that would come and be greeted every week with joy. So they would speak of the Sabbath as a she. She's coming. In fact, here's one of their prayers. Come, let us welcome the Sabbath in joy and peace. Like a bride, radiant and joyous, comes the Sabbath. It brings blessings to our hearts. Workday thoughts and cares are to be put aside. The brightness of the Sabbath light shines forth to tell that the divine spirit of love abides within our home. In that light, our blessings are enriched and our griefs and trials are softened. They would have Sabbath blessings pronounced in Jewish homes. Four of them. A Sabbath meal was shared, and then they would have prayer services, and they would have a ceremony that then said goodbye to the Sabbath. It was called the Havdalah. Separation. It celebrated nightfall. Yes, they worshiped at night in the Jewish homes at church. We know this from Psalm 92, where they gathered in the mornings at the tabernacle, and they gathered at night at the tabernacle. Anyone who says that's not biblical is out to lunch on Old Testament worship. Everyone departed and would say, Shavuot Tov, a good week to you. The Sabbath was not about rules. It was a festive enjoyment of God. That doesn't sound like a lot of bondage to me, does it? It's a time for the Lord to teach you about gospel. It's a time for the Lord to teach you about freedom, anticipating rest in your wilderness journey because your discouragements are very real. Who wants to deny that? So what happened? Well, verse 27. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my law? See, the Lord has given you a Sabbath, a gift. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Look, it was blatant disregard of the commandment. We just don't want to do it. Why? What did the Lord think about this? Some deliberately go out and break the commandment. There's a little ominous phrase there that should really stand out in the text. And they found none. They went to gather. No bread was there. All the people had to do was rely on the Lord to provide. All they had to do was trust the Lord, His love and His provision. All that they had to do was to come and enjoy Him. All they had to do was stop working. Think about this. All they had to do was stop working. He wasn't putting a burden on them, was He? Stop working. Stand still. He's been telling us this. I want you to rest.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
Are you still there?
You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger.